The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers. As he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, they stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road. But when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place. And when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back.' Which of these three, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Evangelii dicta de the Ante Nostra Licta.
Well, the good news, I think I can sympathize with Moses a little bit. I do not think you're stupid. Right? And it seems like, okay, well, it's an odd thing. But I'm actually surprised that I've had to mention that or explain that more than once in the time I've been a priest to, like, professional Christians, even people who, you know, work and organize things for the church or even other clergy. Lay people aren't stupid. There's this strange sort of Gnostic elitism. Really, it's a form of clericalism, even though, you know, it's not all clergy who are doing it, that seems to think, well, there's all this, you know, this sort of a secret knowledge. Gnosticism is this heresy that says there's secret knowledge that's only, that really only the chosen few can even understand or appreciate. If you're one of the initiates, you can even, it's not even like that, like the old Christian practice of, well, you couldn't stay for a rite that you weren't initiated into, right? So like in the ancient church, and even we do this ceremonially with catechumens today, right? They would come to, they couldn't even really come to into the church until they were catechumens, being part of catechumens, being welcomed into the church to hear what was called the Mass of the Catechumens, right? The liturgy of the word, to hear the scriptures read and proclaimed. And then, but when it came to the Eucharist, the Mass of the Faithful, the catechumens had to leave because they weren't initiated. They couldn't participate in it. But it's not the same thing as Gnosticism. Gnosticism was this idea that you're not capable, and there's like something in your constitution that's, you may or may not be one of the chosen ones. You may or may not be one of the insiders. And if you're not, then you're sort of permanently, perpetually second class. Right? That was this idea of Gnosticism. There are spiritual people, then there are people who are sort of mixed spiritual and flesh, and then there's the fleshy people. And the idea being that a lot of these Gnostic cults were like, well, we're the ones who are truly enlightened. We're the ones who truly know and truly understand. And the kind of the rabble, well, they don't quite understand. They just need to do what we say and understand that we're the wise ones. We're the ones with the secret knowledge. We're the ones who really understand this. No, don't ask questions. No, you don't need an explanation. In fact, the very fact that you're asking is an indication that you're not one of us. You're not one of the insiders. And then, of course, there's those, the reprobates that they're never going to get it. They're a lost cause. They ought to only be shunned. Strangely, I've encountered this, not maybe in its fullest flower, but I encounter this sometimes you know, in the auspices of the church, people who think lay people are stupid, or the untrained, the not the theologically educated are stupid. Right? There's a, you know, it's a silly example, but it's, you know, probably very, very, very simplistic. You know, but there, I remember there's, you know, times when I've thought, okay, well, for a special occasion, you know, I'll, like throughout the Easter season, a lot of the time I would, you know, depending on the church I'm at, but a lot of the time during Easter season, right, or Christmas season, or feast days at all, right, I'll bring in more of our Catholic heritage, right, which includes, you know, our shared language, regardless of our cultures, our shared language of Latin, right? And, well, I don't know Latin, Father. Yeah, okay, well, that's just knowledge. It's not like you're incapable of knowing it. You're not stupid. At every Mass you ever hear, you know, without end we proclaim, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of hosts. Without end we proclaim, Sanctus, Sanctus, Sanctus. I wonder what Sanctus might mean, right? You're not stupid. I don't think you're stupid. If I thought you were stupid, I'd say, oh, well, they can't handle that. Oh, geez. And I've met people who do that. Oh, well, that might be just, oh, that's a little too hard. Or, oh, well, you have to explain it. Look, I think it's pretty evident, or at least something that is invocative of mystery. I trust that you're bright enough to be able to figure out what that might mean. Why do we cover the chalice? You could probably reason that one out. It's not a regular cup. At the very least, this seems to indicate that that's a special thing. And there's a lot of depth to it, but it's not depth that, well, you have to come to me and I have to explain it to you, otherwise you little pea brains can't understand. It's like, no, if you give some time and reflection, you can sort of pick at that mystery and figure it out. Now, you know, I've been given theological education. It's my job to help the bishops teach, sanctify, and govern. And so, yeah, I'm supposed to explain things and help people come to understanding. But it's not the same thing as thinking that I understand things that you can't possibly understand. And I think that's part of what Moses is talking about. Saying, yes, I've received this revelation. This is Moses, though. It was not even just like, you know, priests or whatever having been educated in theology. This is Moses who heard from the mouth of God his word, right? Saw the words inscribed onto the stone, right? And was there for 40 days hearing and communing with God directly, talking to him as one would talk to another. And yet Moses himself says, this isn't something so remote from you. This isn't something inaccessible to you. You only need to carry this out. You're not stupid. And you don't need to have, you know, I'll send you prophets. I'll give you judges. They teach the law to the sons of Aaron, the priests who are there to judge and teach and help people understand the law. But it wasn't come run, you know, run to the Levites and come run to the Levitical, the Aaronic priests and say, well, I have this situation. What must I do? The priest would tell you what the law was, but the decision was yours. I mean, I encounter that sometimes with like some that wants to make a health decision or something, and they say, well, what do we do about end of life care? It's like, well, here are the principles, and you know, try to help people understand the logic of it. But what should we do? And I tell them, I can't make this decision for you. It's not my place to make this decision for you. I can tell you what things are moral and what things are immoral, but even more, it's more, I can tell you the principles of why this is immoral or why this is moral. But to apply it to your particular circumstance, unless it's like manifestly obvious, I can't really tell you what the right thing is to do. That's not the same thing as morality being subjective or relative at all. There is a right answer. It's just that part of the components of the right answer are things I don't have access to, which is your own particular circumstances, your own particular situation. That is part of the calculus. Now, the calculus, again, spits out an exact correct answer. It's not fuzzy. It's just that I'm not inside the situation, and I'm not the one who makes that decision. Your faith is accessible to you. In principle, it's understandable. It's coherent. And we should guard against any attitudes from above or below that thinks in this sort of Gnostic manner, as if truth and goodness and beauty, as if morality, as if divine revelation is God's self-communication, all this stuff is inaccessible. Again, either from above, saying, oh, well, I understand, and well, the rest of you don't. So I'm here being holy, I'm here being Christian, I'm here with the gospel, and well, the rest of the world is just going to have to figure out what they can figure out, because clearly they can't be as holy and as elite and as intelligent and refined as I am. Right? Oh, well, in fact, maybe I'll need to dumb it down for them a little bit, just so that they can understand. They at least have a glimpse of what I can understand, because I'm just so much beyond these other people. I mean, that attitude, honestly, that's I see a lot in a lot of clericalist circles, especially those who think themselves to be very compassionate, very pastoral. It astounds me how condescending the most, quote, pastoral clergy can be. It's disturbingly so. But from below as well, right? Essentially saying, well, the truth, what God wants, the standard that God calls us to is way up here, and I can't ever make it. So, you know, I'm going to work out my own thing, and I just got, you know, I'm a nice person. God will understand. You know, I can't. You know, yeah, I know. Holy people, those Christian people, all those Catholic people, all those people, people go to church all every single Sunday. Look, I'm Catholic, I believe in God, but I, you know, life is life. God has to realize that reality is what it is, and I'm not one of those people. I'm one of these people, and, you know, I'll think, you know, God knows that I'm only what I am, and he's going to understand that, and I can do what I'd like, and I don't need to worry about this. I don't need to think about this. The priest thinks about that religious stuff for me. No. That's Gnosticism too. You're just putting yourself down on that fleshy rung, or that fleshy / spiritual rung, thinking that other people are the spiritual ones. No, we're all called to be spiritual. We're all called to have the fullness and to appreciate the fullness of what God has ready for us. And so we need to guard against that sort of Gnostic idea that thinks that holy and beautiful things are beyond your or my capacity, or beyond someone else's capacity. And honestly, where Gnosticism touches other places in the world, we should watch out for as well. Because that Gnostic spirit of us and them, the Gnostic spirit of the above and the below, the Gnostic spirit of the elite and the common, that infects a lot of different places in life, even beyond religion. And so we should be attentive to that. Of course, first and foremost with religion, but Gnosticism is this Gnostic arrogance, or this Gnostic elitism, is no less an issue in other places. Right? I mean, it's another country, so I figure I can mention that without putting my thumb in the pie too much. But, you know, there's that whole, the Prime Minister of England, or the UK, right, resigned. What was the scandal of which he resigned? During the plague, when he told everyone else, cower, 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 fear, 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 hide, hide, hide. He was throwing, you know, parties in 10 Downing Street, right? Well, I'm one of the specials, though. My people aren't sick. My people, we're the clean ones. Right, it's not been bad for the people there. He's done, he was doing pretty well up until the plague over there. But apparently there's this elitist Gnostic streak that can so often come with power, even when you otherwise might be using it pretty well. It could be your downfall. Right, and of course, don't want to put your thumb on the pie, but you could pick your favorite people, in our own context and say, well, so-and-so's a hypocrite, but not even just a regular hypocrite, but I'm one of the specials, you're not type of hypocrite. I mean, even some of the cultural infections, right? The people who are trying to just who want to gin up and continue to harp on and feed the fires of evil things like racism in people's hearts, right? There are people who are stoking these fires intentionally. And if you dare question, they throw back this gobbledygook to say, you have to understand you're really one of the bad ones. I'm one of the good ones. You're one of the bad ones. And they have these circular logic, and that doesn't make sense. That's circular. That's just a list of a lot of polysyllabic words and logical fallacies. Oh, well, you're one of those people. You don't want to be one of those people, do you? Right? It's 2022. Get with the program. Up is down. Black is white. Men are women. You're not one of those people who want to talk about reality and truth. True reality is offensive. Watching a movie where someone literally said that, right? If you keep talking about truth, I'm going to walk out of the room. That's Gnosticism applied to somewhere else in life. So you need to watch out for these Gnostic elitist attitudes. That's not how God works. And if it's true with common things, again, it's even more true with religious things. The truth might be difficult. The truth might cause you to have to shift your perspective. It might be something, it is something you need to conform yourself to. Because it doesn't conform to you. It could be a difficult thing to acquire. It can be something that takes hard work to think about, an active attention to dissect. But you're not stupid. You're entirely capable of receiving the truth. And anyone who tells you otherwise or treats you as if it is otherwise, they do not have your good in mind.